This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now on The Fan, covering your New York Jets for the New York Post, none other than Brian Costello. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good. In here watching the Rangers, talking to folks about Juan Soto and G-Man Choi, really Mecole Hardman, because he gave us a layup on The Fan today. Everybody's able to get on The Fan and talk about the Jets again.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people when I was at the Super Bowl and I saw him jog on the field in overtime on the second play of overtime or third play, and I said, oh man, the Mecole Hardman's going to score the game winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, because it always comes back to the Jets. And sure enough, he did, and now that's given him, you know, a lot of interview opportunities that probably no one would be looking to talk to Mecole Hardman right now. But, of course, they are, and that's the Jets world.
Yeah, they can't escape the spotlight. They started off the season in the spotlight with Hard Knocks and, you know, the primetime games, and Aaron Rodgers goes down, and he's on Pat McAfee, and they still had a bunch of Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime game. Everybody, you couldn't hide from it. Now, it was a disaster. It was an all-time bad one, and I know you've seen some all-time bad ones, but the fact that they're running it back, when I heard all the Mecole Hardman stuff, I'm like, nobody's surprised, right? But what you're surprised about is that, like, somebody else is coming out to tell you what went on behind the scenes, and they're telling you, no, this is fine. This is all fine. We're good here. We're good.
Yeah, I don't think they're saying it's fine, Keith, but you couldn't fire them. I mean, because Aaron Rodgers came here to play for them, and those guys deserve a chance to have Rodgers as their quarterback. You know, the truth is the season was over four plays in. And yes, if they had a better backup quarterback, would they maybe have won another game or two, maybe. But it was over. Like, any Super Bowl hopes or anything like that, of any real success, was over. And, you know, I would not put much stock in Mecole Hardman and what he says about the Jets. The Jets can throw dirt at Mecole Hardman. Obviously, they didn't think much of him, and he didn't play much. I think he was humiliated because Xavier Gibson was playing over him. You know, he didn't play at all the first game. I think he had a few snaps in the second game. He really had no role. And, like, look, he scored the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, yes, but he did not have a big role for the Chiefs when he went back there. He had a, you know, big fumble in the playoffs. He had some mistakes. So I don't think people should take what Mecole Hardman said as gospel about the Jets. I do think he has an axe to grind. You know, was it good? No. And I don't think anyone with the Jets is saying it's good, but they were in a position where they couldn't really blow it up, because if you blow it up, you're starting all over. You're starting from scratch. And I don't know. And everyone gets like aggravated that Aaron Rodgers has too much power. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers would have been picking the coach, because they would have had to. It's just that when they made that trade, they had to give Aaron Rodgers a lot of power in the organization. That's the way it's going to work. Tom Brady had a lot of power in Tampa Bay there. Peyton Manning had a lot of power in Denver when he went there. The problem for the Jets is Jets fans haven't seen Aaron Rodgers complete a pass yet. So they're not happy about it.
Yeah. Did I hear Joe Douglas say that they're in like a great position and talk about how like the meetings they had were wonderful and they're, you know, like I feel like I heard him today on BT and Sal talking from the combine as if like they're really confident and they're happy to be where they are.
I think he was talking about, he did say that. I'm trying to remember the what context was. I think it was about the offensive line in terms of what they have to do there. And I think they're confident in their plan. And I think he was kind of talking about how Elijah Vera Tucker allows them some flexibility in terms of whether they do they need to add two tackles, do they need to add two guards at a tackle. Like, you know, Vera Tucker can be moved around. He played four positions on the line. So they can sort of figure it out and put Vera Tucker kind of wherever they need to as the whole. So I think that's what he was referring to. He wasn't by no means saying, you know, the Jets are great or anything like that. I think he was talking about they're in a great position. I think he was addressing how he feels about going into the free agency and that stuff.
Yeah, they have to rebuild this offensive line. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned AVT and his versatility. AVT's been hurt back-to-back seasons. I would think that they need a backup plan and another backup plan and another backup plan to build this offensive line, replace three guys, and make sure that they stay whole and build that wall in front of Aaron Rodgers so we don't end up going to a backup quarterback again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's the biggest thing of the offseason for them, and they need three starters. You know, the AVT thing, yes, he's been hurt back-to-back years, but they're kind of freakish season-ending injuries in terms of like Achilles and torn triceps. It's not like he has a bad knee, right, where you're like, oh, my God, this guy's going to keep getting hurt again and again. It's pretty rare to have two Achilles tears. Or like he had freakish injuries. I don't think they're worried about his durability right now because, like I said, it's not like a knee or a shoulder or something like that. But I'm with you. They need volume at the offensive line. Like, not only do they need three starters, but they need to add some more backup pieces. They have Carter Warren, who I thought showed some promise last year. They drafted Wes Schweitzer, I think, will be back as a backup guard, but they just need they've seen it. You know, they went through 13-14 combinations last year, the year before, the same thing. It's tough. I mean, if you look around the league, Keith, there aren't many teams that are solid on the offensive line, right? The Eagles are pretty solid. The Lions are pretty solid. The rest of the teams kind of have holes. Even the Chiefs, who won the Super Bowl, their two tackles struggled. And so it's a hard position to find, and the way the game has gone in college with spread formations, these guys don't really block like they do in the NFL, so it's hard to project. So it's become a very difficult position, and I think Douglas has to not only get quality but quantity. He needs to just throw some volume at it, and then they can see what shakes out in August in training camp.
Yeah, a lot of these mock drafts are coming out saying that Brock Bowers is going to be the move for the Jets, but I just keep thinking it's offensive line, and maybe one of these top tackles do fall to them with folks trying to go after quarterbacks and wide receivers early. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at the mock draft and you're making your own mock draft, what do you see the Jets doing at 10?
Yeah, I think it has to be a tackle. You know, there's the top three guys from Notre Dame, Penn State, and Oregon State are the three guys everybody projects. I don't pretend to be a scout and watch, you know, I got enough football to watch in the NFL during the season. I don't watch a lot of college, but I go by what, you know, the draft guys say, and those are the three that they feel like are kind of head and shoulders above the rest. I do think one of them will be there at 10. You know, and if they're not, do you trade down and then take the next best tackle? Tight end is tough. Brett Bowers is very talented, but, man, you know, we've seen tight ends succeed in this league getting drafted on day two a lot in recent years. You know, I don't think that that's going to be the priority. You know, you can make the argument if they don't find a good number two wide receiver that having a tight end like him could be another dynamic weapon to add with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. But to me, it's offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, and you've got to solidify that. And you know, they've got to keep Aaron Rodgers upright this year, and so that's the priority.
Zach Wilson is out. Joe Douglas spoke on him being allowed to seek a trade, and they'll leave that to his GM to find the team and the partner, so the Zach Wilson era is officially over. But when I'm thinking about who's going to back up Aaron Rodgers, it's got to be a guy that Aaron Rodgers is cool with. They're not going to draft a young guy to back up Aaron Rodgers. They're going to sign a guy, and I'm just not sure with Nathaniel Hackett and Rodgers who fits the system, but it's so vital. I mean, Woody Johnson was at the NFL Honors talking about not having a backup quarterback, and I think he's willing to spend. Any idea who they might zero in on?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the guys you're familiar with: Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, maybe Tyrod Taylor, coming over from the Giants. It's going to be a veteran that's been around. And, the question, I think, is does a guy like Tannehill or Minshew, do they have an opportunity to go somewhere where they could play, like either as a starter or as a bridge quarterback for a team that's going to draft a rookie and maybe that's not ready to play and they get some time? So, I mean, Brissett is a guy that makes a lot of sense to me. The Jets have seen him the last 2 years. He's played against him with Washington and Cleveland. He's played pretty well. So I can see that. And I think keep drafting a quarterback behind Rodgers, I think we're going to be talking about that next year. As Rodgers is a little closer to the end, and I think they'll be drafting somebody to play behind him next year. This year, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a veteran. I don't think Rodgers is going to have a problem with, if they sign a veteran like Jacoby Brissett or anyone like that. I don't think he's going to have any input on that decision. I think they'll find who they want to sign, and they'll probably overpay that person, like you said, because I think that's going to be that position after last year, not just with the Jets, but we saw around the league, right? All those backup quarterbacks that played, I think you're going to see the backup quarterback market going way up this year, mm-hmm. where I think $8 million was the highest last year. I think you'll probably see $10 million this year.
For sure, with the higher salary cap and with this past season of the backups and backups, yep. backups playing, it is a priority. Okay, last thing for you. I saw your article in the Post about the NFLPA surveys, and with the Jets, I knew that this one was going to be a high-ranking part of the survey, the food, the dietitian, because I always see the spread that the media gets, and I'm like, man, I got to figure out how to get over there with a credential, yeah. because they do right by you guys with the food that you eat.
Well, but Keith, the cafeteria got a C-, which is that to me destroyed the credibility of the survey.
I don't know. I'm going off of you. I've seen Connor Hughes, Zach Rosenblatt, all these guys raving about the spread.
Yeah. It's terrific, and there's no way they are A+ in our book. They're not C-, because the nutritionist, if that's the person that works with the team, on their diet plan, that's not the cafeteria worker. The cafeteria got a C-, which I told people with the Jets. I'm like, that destroys the credibility of the survey to me completely, because the food is like a five-star restaurant at the Jets. So I don't know about the training room. I don't know about meeting time, but I know the cafeteria is pretty good.
Yeah, I know the food is valid from the pictures.
Connor Hughes always tweets his pictures. I know. I tell him not to, because at some point, someone in the Jets is going to go, why are we feeding these guys so well? they rip us. Stop. Let's give them
Aaron Rodgers is going to go on McAfee and say there's a mole in the building and we feed these guys too good.
Yeah. So I'm worried. I always tell Connor, let's slow down on the Instagram photos.
Well, here comes the combine and then the pro days and the draft, and it's a big offseason for the Jets. They just got to stay healthy, and I think they end the playoff drought. Brian, thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, Keith, thanks for having me.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Yes! Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.